Welcome to the brand new podcast in the Weezer Weird Podcast Empire.
Empire, King Weeze.
King Weeze Productions presents Man Up, the podcast.
The podcast.
Where two manly men tell you how to do stuff the manly way.
Questionable on the manliness.
We couldn't find any manly men, so it's just me and Fred. I'm Weezer Weir with Fred Weinfurt in our very first episode. Fred, tell the people who you are.
Yeah, the people who I am. I live in Seattle. I am married. I have a puppy dog. I work in TV, and I like manly things, hence this podcast.
Yes. Fred and I went to high school together way back in the day.
Yes, he was one of the very lone witnesses of me having a car accident on Gravelly Road.
Not a very manly thing.
Not a very manly thing. Well, I saw you and I felt like I had to scream out, Weezer! And then boom, right in the back of a truck.
And I laughed hysterically. And I circled back around. As soon as I saw Fred, he yelled, he crashed, reared into a car. I laughed uncontrollably, circled back around to go back and witness what was going on.
And you proceeded to laugh. It was my ego was so bruised, and then you decided to whip around and keep laughing as you drive past.
I just really wanted to make sure that you saw I was laughing.
I saw twice. As soon as I hit the car, I immediately looked around to see what your reaction was. You were dying.
I mean, how else would you respond in that situation?
I don't know. So the podcast is Man Up, where we talk about man things. Weezer, do you feel like you're qualified enough to talk about manly things?
Mostly. I've had my man card revoked a couple times, but I seem to earn it back.
When do you have it revoked?
Oh, man. Every other week? No, the last time I had it revoked, I was at a diner. I was with some friends, and this girl ordered a slinger. You know what a slinger is?
Yeah. Tell the audience if they don't know.
The slinger is probably the most manly food you could eat. It is two hamburger patties.
Nice.
Topped with eggs of your choice. I like to go scrambled.
Scrambled.
Then hash browns. All covered in chili. You just pour the chili on top, and then you put cheese on that. Well, anyway, I went to the diner, and I wasn't feeling a slinger, and I just ordered, like, some eggs or something, and the girl I was with ordered a slinger, and the guy was like, you're not going to get a slinger? You're going to make her do it? And he took away my man card.
Well, you're trying to watch your girlish figure.
You know, men have to watch what they eat, too.
You know, sometimes you do have to work in some greens every once in a while. That's okay. Yeah. I will say up in Seattle, they don't do chili. They do, as the Canadians say, poutine.
Oh, yes, poutine, yes.
Which is gravy. So I think that brings it to another heartiness level. Because chili, you can argue that there actually isn't that much that's bad in chili. You've got beans, you've got peppers, you've got onions, you've got beef, you've got spices and tomato sauce. But that's about it. There's really not much that's unhealthy. Now, poutine is as unhealthy as you can get.
I mean, that's like concrete in the arteries. I mean, houses with that stuff.
Yeah, just open a vein and just put an IV of poutine and you'll die in 5 minutes.
I'll tell you what a good diner was, that one we had up in Minnesota.
Oh, the Mighty Ducks Diner.
The Mighty Ducks Diner. Mickey's. Couldn't tell you the name. But the Ducks, I remember that.
Yeah, the Mickey's Diner. It's in St. Paul, because you were in my wedding.
Yes.
And I felt like I needed to bring everybody to breakfast on the day of the wedding, right before we got straight razor shaved.
And you sat where Emilio sat.
I was Emilio, yes.
Yes, and we quacked. There was a lot of quacking. And the people working there were not happy with us quacking.
I think most Minnesotans aren't happy when people quack around them, but yes.
Well, this is good that we're talking about food, because this week's topic is none other than steak.
How do you not top it off? I mean, just start it with steak. You got to start with steak.
It's man food, sometimes on a stick, sometimes not. Food on a stick's better, I think, personally.
Yes, I agree. Nick Offerman always is the man of the man when it comes to our generation, and he always says, eat your red meat.
Yes. So, Fred, the most important question with covering steak, how do you take your steak?
I take my steak medium rare.
Ooh, a little bit on the rare side. I go right to medium. I like a little cook. I like it a little. Rare is just a little chewy for me.
That's not the medium's a little chewy. It makes it a little too tough, doesn't it?
No. You get that. It's a little tougher, but it's like that cooked tough. You know what I'm saying?
For the longest time, I had no idea growing up what doneness or cookedness was. So when I was a kid and I wanted steak, my parents let me get steak. They would ask me how I want it cooked, and I was like 9 years old. I have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. I want it cooked.
On a grill.
I just know steaks mean rich. It means you only order steak when you're rich. So I would tell them to make it the same doneness as McDonald's.
Which is a nice medium to medium well, probably.
Or just well, straight well done.
I think it's actually just called defrost.
Put it in the microwave and there's your McDonald's. So they were like, well, I guess we'll just go medium. So for the longest time, I just did medium. But then you start watching like chef shows and you hear like Gordon Ramsay curse everybody. He always gets it medium rare.
Yeah.
So now I feel like I have to eat it properly and get it medium rare.
So Fred, when you're at home, should we run down what's the top cuts here in America? I got them right here. So number one is a ribeye steak. When you cook a steak, what do you go with?
What's cheap on sale?
All right, that is exactly what I do too. Ribeye is not my favorite, to be honest with you. I don't know. To be honest, can you tell a difference? I can in a nice filet, but when you get between like a ribeye and a strip steak.
Yeah, I mean, if it's just a standard cut and it's not really, I can't tell the difference. Now, if we're talking like Kobe beef.
Yeah.
Then we're okay. Now we're talking. You can actually tell that cow doesn't do anything its whole life.
Except drink.
Except drink and eat. It just lays in a sling. It has nothing
what
going
a life.
On with its life. It depends on who you're asking.
True.
Now, what's interesting about what the cow does, and to relay it to how you take your steak, I had a friend who every time he ordered a steak, he would always ask where the steak was from. And it really threw off everybody who ever ate with him. He would always ask the server, well, where's the steak from? Where's the steak from? And they would get really confused and ask him why. And his explanation was, if it's a steak that's originated from the Southwest, like Texas, Arizona, Nevada, places that are – it's warm, they're walking around more. They're out and about more. They're eating grass, which means they have stronger muscles. So you actually have to cook it – what he thinks, you have to cook it longer to break down the connective tissue so it's more appetizing when you eat it. If it's from Iowa, Montana, the Dakotas, Minnesota, where it's cold, they're laying around in the barn eating corn, then you don't need to cook it as long because it has more marbleizing because it's lazier. It doesn't do much more with its life before it goes to the slaughterhouse. I say BS.
Yeah.
I don't think I could really tell the difference between a Texas cow and a Minnesota cow.
Yeah, have you guys ever tried to test him on this?
I have not. I will say I lived in Iowa for a little bit. They do have some really great cow in Iowa. And I think it does make sense because Texas, if we talk about Texas and food, what comes to mind? Barbecue.
Yeah.
Barbecue comes to mind.
So you gotta fix that up by putting some stuff on the steak.
Well, you have to cook it for a long time.
Yeah.
It's you have to really, really break down the meat. You can't just, you know, sear it and then bring it up to temperature and then it's done. Obviously, you can do that and you do that with steak. But in Texas, their tradition is more barbecue. It's long cooking.
Yeah. Maybe there is a point to this.
Just saying. He was older than me, so I'm going to say that he knew more than I did. So
maybe he has his own Man Up podcast somewhere.
What are other cuts of steak we need to know, Suiz?
You got the New York strip steak, which I think is your pretty much go-to.
Yes.
Beef tenderloin, also known as filet mignon.
Ooh. Yes. But filet mignon's always so small.
Yes, that's the problem with the beef tenderloin. It's just this little circle thing. But I'm telling you, you get that thing bacon-wrapped.
Oh.
Oh. Game, set, match.
Done.
You got the T-bone steak, you know, classic.
What do you think about the bone in?
See, I don't mind it. It gives it a little more flavor. But the problem is usually there's a lot of fat also on the bone too. So I feel like you're not getting the full value of your money on that steak. You're getting a little more fat.
Well, I can't tell you, I'm not an expert with knives, so cutting around the bone, there's a lot of meat that's always left over. I'm like, well, that was a son of a bitch, and I always then have to pick up the bone and eat it with my fingers.
And a few, like, Band-Aids later being just cut. So here's one of my favorite, the flank steak. Very underrated.
When do you use the flank steak?
That's a great marinating steak.
So you're talking, like, for fajitas?
Fajitas, or even just you marinate it and with a little bit of rice. Very good.
You're a simple man, Weezer.
I am. I got a great marinade that I think we'll cover in a little bit. And then the last one, top sirloin, which I guess is your more basic steak.
Right.
So, Fred, when you're preparing a steak, what do you prefer? Like you a rub, a marinade? What do you do?
I am very, very basic. I'm kind of a purist when it comes to steaks. And I'm kind of this way with burgers, too. I do a little – first, you got to bring it up to room temperature.
Okay, yeah.
And then I always do a little olive oil on it, then fresh ground, salt, and pepper, and that's it.
Wow. Basic.
Basic. I like the taste of steak. I don't need to add a lot of other things.
When people like, you said a burger, why don't you put this stuff on a burger? I'm tasting the burger. I don't want to taste the tomato or lettuce. I just want to taste the burger.
And that kind of leads to like marinades. I know – you like marinated flank steak, but I just can't get behind marinades. If you go with a marinade, it almost like you're just saying, yeah, I guess this cut of beef kind of sucks. It's not really
the
best
thing. That's the thing with a flank steak. It doesn't have that much flavor by itself. That's the one you really gotta go with. So for my flank steak, I like to go basic salt, pepper, garlic powder. And then I do a marinade of, I take Italian dressing. I take a little bit of hot sauce and a little dry mustard, and I put that into a bag and let that sit for like an hour, and it's a nice sauce. It really goes well with the steak.
There you go. Now, how do you cook it?
Cook it on the grill. 4 minutes, and you're done.
And we're talking about just flank steak,
just
right?
The flank steak, yeah.
Do you cook most of your steaks on grill?
Well, it depends. Like right now in St. Louis, it is 2 degrees. So if I'm cooking a steak, I got a nice cast iron skillet that I like to get.
There you go.
So I like to use that. It depends. I cook probably more inside actually on the cast iron skillet.
Yeah, I will say my cast iron, it's one of my all-time treasures because it's my grandmother's cast iron skillet. She's been cooking with since the late 30s.
A lot of built-up flavors in there, I bet.
Yeah. And there was one time I had it in college, and my roommate threw it in the dishwasher. I about killed him.
Oh, my goodness.
I pulled that thing out, and it was rusted over. It took me an hour scrubbing with aluminum foil and SOS pads just to get that rust off, and then I had to re-season it. Oh, I was so, so mad at him.
Oh, man.
Oh. But, yeah, that's my go-to steak cooker.
Yeah.
You got to get it real, real hot, real hot. Get the oven to about 400 degrees. I do about like 30 seconds on either side of the steak just to sear it. You hit the sides up, and then you throw it right in the oven.
Yeah. How long in the oven?
For this, I do a lot of – I do temperature. So it's more of – it's usually like maybe 3 minutes max, 3-4 minutes.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, but also I'm going for medium rare, as in Weezer, you're trying to kill the damn animal.
Hey man, if it lives in Iowa, who knows what it has? I've been to Iowa.
This isn't England where they have hoof and mouth disease all over the place.
True. All right. So, Fred, what's the best steak you ever had?
I was really thinking about this, but I got to go with Charlie's Steakhouse in Orlando, Florida. It's kind of a chain that's down there, kind of around for the older generation down in the South, around Florida. But it goes with a kind of a story that I was actually able to be there covering the Outback Bowl.
Outback, another great place for steak.
it wasn't Orlando. It was actually Tampa. Actually, that's where it was. It was Tampa Bay. We were covering.
Do the people at Outback know that you didn't have Outback steak?
Is that a problem?
They're not a sponsor yet, so no.
Well, they were a sponsor of the Outback Bowl.
Yes.
But yeah, we're like, well, we're not going to go to Outback. Well, it was also New Year's Eve, so we felt like we had to have a really good dinner. So yeah, we felt like we had to go to Charlie's Steakhouse.
What kind of steak? What was it?
Oh, it was definitely New York, and it was on the company dime.
Oh, even better.
Yeah, so it was free. I didn't really have to worry about how much it cost.
It's a tough one for me. I've had some great steaks. Citizen Kane's in Kirkwood.
Yeah.
They know how to make steak.
Never been there. I grew up my whole life there. I never went.
Next time you're in St. Louis, you got to take Kelly there.
How much is it?
It'll probably run you about, for the two of you, probably about $80.
Oh, that's Seattle prices, so that's not bad.
Yeah, this is Seattle price. If you want wine, probably like 110.
Damn, you want, now you're pushing.
I don't know. It's been a while. But I had some great steak in Portugal, in this little city called Ferro. It was so good that me and my buddy that I was there with, we went back for the second night. We went there the first night and ordered the exact same thing the second night.
You got to mix it up, man.
The steak was that good.
What made it that good?
The seasoning, the way it was cooked. They gave you fries and rice. It was just great. I don't know. There was not much else to do in this town. It was a beach town, and it rained the whole time. So all we could do was eat and drink.
Well, then we got to bring up the question since you brought up sides. What's a side dish you go with?
Ooh, I mean, it's hard to beat a baked potato. But steak and fries. Steak and frites.
Yes.
It depends on the steak, but... Mac and cheese.
Yeah, mac and cheese, yeah. It does feel like you need a good carb. You can't really go. Yeah. I mean, veggies, yeah, but it doesn't really.
You can have some veggies there. Like corn on the cob is great to go with steak.
Yeah, but I don't count corn as really a veggie. It's not like you're going with corn on the cob because you got to get some roughage.
Sorry, it's a vegetable, isn't it?
Technically, yes, but I barely count it as a vegetable.
Potato is a vegetable, too.
Yeah, it's still a carb, basically. Yeah. I mean, you're slathering that stuff in butter and cheese and salt, and you're just, like, put it in the arteries.
Nobody said vegetables had to be good for you. You just got to eat them, right?
So, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. This has been the first ever segment on the Man Up Podcast.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, like what you've heard so far? Make sure you check us out on Facebook at Man Up the Podcast. Welcome back to Man Up. Weezer Weir with Fred Weinfurt.
Yo, yo.
You guys were wondering if you heard a squeaking on the podcast. That was just Fred's dog, Piper, killing a duck. Not a real duck, but a stuffed duck.
Yes, my wife unfortunately came home with a toy that squeaks right on our first podcast. Great idea, honey.
If you want to know more about Piper the puppy, make sure you follow her at Twitter at Piper_the puppy. That's a Twitter, Piper_the puppy.
That's PIPER_THEPUPPY.
Piper_the puppy at Twitter. Who has more followers than the 314 podcast?
But who retweeted the 314 podcast tweet?
Yes. Well, the only interaction the 314 podcast has ever had was with Piper the puppy. So we're going to plug Piper the puppy.
She's a special sponsor.
Yeah. The official mascot of... The King Wee's production podcast network empire.
Coming to a logo near you.
Yes. All right. So this next segment we're going to do every week is called Man Codes, where we break down the unwritten rules of being a man.
And now this first one, though, is because you have an example of a man code being violated.
Yes. This is probably the ultimate violation. This guy lost his man card plus dignity, I think.
He needs to be castrated.
So we'll talk about the etiquette of the men's room.
Men's room.
So we got a few rules here. We'll start here. All right.
It's brought to you by itsguycode.com. Yes. We're stealing it from this website. So it's not us making up these rules.
Right.
But I think all of these are unspoken rules that every man should know.
These
before
are rules.
He ever...
These are rules I've followed my entire life.
Yes. It's before you even walk into a public restroom, you need to know these rules.
So the first rule is a man must not look at another man while chatting in the men's room. So you should not talk to another man in the restroom.
Oh, this rule doesn't make any. A man must not look at another man while. Well, problem one, you shouldn't talk
right
in the restroom, let alone make eye contact.
The only place where talking is okay is a sporting event.
Yes,
you're a little liquored up, and you're like, "Hey, you're that play." That's the only place, because usually you're in a line.
Yes.
But there should be no talking in the men's room. Like when we were in high school, Fred, we would go to the bathroom about the same time after lunch. We'd walk in and no eye contact. We would be having a conversation on our way in. As soon as we got in, we'd stop talking. And then as soon as we got out of the bathroom, we picked up right where we left off.
In fact, I don't even remember ever going to the bathroom with you because I try to avoid knowing who is in the restroom.
Maybe. I remember this happening multiple times.
I don't remember a thing. Rule number two, a man's got to scratch what a man's got to scratch. This applies to picking as well. Let the man be.
That's enough. If you got to touch yourself in the bathroom, you got to scratch it. There's no judging in the men's bathroom because, one, you shouldn't be looking to see what that man's doing.
Well, but I think there's judging if it lasts a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
If you just keep picking, keep scratching.
Rule number three, before we get into trouble. If you accidentally touch or brush against another part of a man's below the waist, this should just be brushing into any man. We should have rewritten these rules.
Yeah, I think we're judging these rules a lot.
Yeah, it's understood that it's an accident, that there's no apology or any reference to the occurrence is necessary.
False. Never, ever touch.
Right.
No accident, no nothing. There's no understanding that you touched. If you touched me in the bathroom, I'm going to get mad.
Yeah. No man should spend more than two minutes in front of a mirror. If more time is required, a 3-minute waiting period must be allowed before returning to the mirror.
I agree with that one. That's a good one.
Hey, what was the longest you've ever spent time in front of a mirror?
Probably when I got ready for trying to get my hair done for the wedding.
That was me trying to tie the damn bow tie.
I felt like everybody needed to have a tie that tied. I thought it looked better.
No, right, it definitely looked better. Just I'm not smart enough or capable of reading directions.
True. All right. Number five, in an empty room, car, etc., a man cannot ask another man if he is mad because he isn't talking. What does this have anything to do with bathrooms?
Yeah, this rule five doesn't seem to be, maybe this isn't our website of choice anymore.
Maybe they forgot to edit. All right, number six.
You can't drop a, you mad, bro? You can't do that anymore?
You have to. Number six, this one, back to the bathroom, I guess. If you jiggle more than twice, you're playing with it.
What if somebody jiggles it for you?
Technically, you're not playing with it then, I guess.
That might be a little preview of what I'm about to talk about. Okay, so now seven is never talk to another man in the bathroom unless you're on equal footing, both urinating, both waiting in line for another situation, as I recognize you with a nod will just do fine.
What is up with this guy being addicted to talking in the bathroom? There is no talking.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're really inebriated and you say something like, go cards. That's about it.
When you're at a urinal, your eyes should be – and this is what I love about Busch Stadium is they got little billboards straight ahead with advertisements. Yes. That's where your eyes need to be. There's no looking left or right. You need to read the advertisement.
And I will say I appreciate the bathrooms that have put up walls, dividers between the urinal. It adds a little bit more space, and it keeps the guy from peeking, Ace Ventura trying to look down at a championship ring.
And this is rule number eight goes with that. When using a urinal in a public restroom, a buffer zone of at least one urinal should exist at all time. If the empty urinal is directly next to an occupied, this is just, he says a sporting event's the only time you can pee next to somebody at a urinal.
I have peed next to somebody at a sporting event. It happens.
Yeah. Here's the thing. You can pee next to somebody as long as it's not the only person there. There's one guy at a urinal and you go to the one right next to him. Whoa. Whoa.
Yeah, especially if they take the outside corner urinal as far against the wall as you can get and there's 20 in between, you just decide to settle right next to them.
You got to go to the little short urinal before you go stand next to somebody.
Even if it splashes the shoes, yes.
Yeah.
And number 10, in a locker room, a man may only look at another man's face. Any deviation, the offender loses their manhood.
I would agree, but I would also, you should only talk into your locker. You should only yes. be facing your locker, and all conversations should be in surround sound.
Don't square the shoulders and the hips up to me when you're talking. It's bad enough when you turn the corner from the shower or coming into the locker room and there's just this bare ass old man.
I hate the men's locker
room. And they just hang out.
Why are there so many old naked guys in the men's locker room?
They think it's a good place to read the newspaper or something. I don't get it.
It creeps me out. I hate going in there.
Now because of this list, this is a good segue into Weezer's horrific story at, was it a Blues game?
Yes, I was at a Blues game last week. And, you know, the third period, you know, I've had a few beers, so I broke the seal. This is not my first time in the men's room this night. it was a little crowded, so we had a line going. And, you know, you stand in, you pick a line for the urinal, and, you know, you stand in that line, you either talk quietly or, you know, you can talk about the game as long as you're not that close to the urinal. So I get to, it's my turn to come up. I'm at the urinal. All of a sudden, I feel a little bump on my right shoulder and I get kind of pushed. And a guy just starts peeing with me in the urinal.
Like he just bumped you out of the way.
He just moved me over to get a little room.
So he wanted a sword fight, basically.
And he's like, "Hey, how's it going?" I didn't know what to do.
Did you stop or did you just keep going?
I kind of stopped. I thought about peeing on the guy, to be honest with you, but I didn't know what to do. This is not covered in the man.
This is a total violation.
This is like a violation of 8 of the 10 rules.
He's evaded your space.
Yes.
He is playing sword fight with you.
Yes. He's not giving the one urinal buffer.
He's talking.
He's talking. he jiggled it more than twice.
He's splashing the dockers.
Yeah. I didn't know what to do, and I still don't know what to do.
Do you need a report? Do you need an adult, Weezer?
I feel like this guy could go on some kind of list.
Yeah, he might need to be on, come and knock on the door to tell you he's moved into the neighborhood.
I need to call Chris Hansen.
Have a seat.
Yeah. Have a seat here for a moment.
Just finish before you sit down.
Yeah. So I didn't know what to do. Did you have any suggestions there? Do I knock the guy out? It's like, I don't want to get in a fight.
I think at this point is when you need to channel the inner mob mentality where you stop, zip up, and then make a scene so that all the other men feel extremely motivated to remove him from the situation.
That's a good idea.
Well, yeah. Sometimes I'm a little bit more man than you are, Weezer.
I was just in shock. You see,
I mean, did you step back and just walk away?
I did. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, this dude just started peeing with me. People laughed, and then that was about it.
Apparently, the Blues game is not where you find a mob then.
No. Any stories like that from you, Fred?
No. Fortunately, most of my stories are fairly tame.
Yeah. I've also seen somebody go head first down the urinal at Wrigley Field in the troughs. That's another weird thing I've seen.
What are your feelings about troughs with ice in them?
I like to aim for the ice. I like to see the steam. I was at Mardi Gras this week, and they had these Johnny on the spot troughs, and they were just steaming because of it was so damn cold.
Oh, there you go. Now, I will say, if there's one item that I think we need to add to the list, is that before you bring your young son to a public restroom for the first time, you must teach him to keep his pants up.
There's old guys that do that too. I've walked into bathrooms and old guys have their pants all the way down to their ankles. I'm like, come on, man.
I mean, you don't expect to turn the corner and see ass in that situation.
That's the same guys that are just sitting naked in the men's locker room.
But back to the kid, I don't want to – I mean, I feel like a predator as soon as you walk in and you're looking at a naked boy's ass.
Yeah, I don't like little kids in the bathroom with me.
No, I'm sorry. I just – you have to teach your son to keep his pants and not dribble on his pants, and he'll do fine. Oh, it's so disturbing. So, okay, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of this segment. We're going to go to break number two for the first ever Man Up podcast.
Hey, Weezer Weir here. If you like what you heard so far, check out my other podcast, the 314 Podcast, where we cover all things St. Louis from sports, music, and entertainment, and pretty much anything else we want to talk about. Find us on Facebook at 314 Podcast. Welcome back to Man Up, first one ever. I think we're doing all right, Fred. What do you think?
It's okay. It's all right.
You think over or under 12 listeners?
I'm going to say five.
Five?
Yeah, cool. Under.
That's under. I'll take that.
We're not going to make the spread.
No. I don't remember the last time I covered the spread. All right. So this last segment we're going to do here, this is where we like to recap what's gone on the week. First segment here is called Man Up. This is where we find a story of men who really didn't man up in the right situation.
They didn't nail it as a guy.
Ironically, the name of our podcast is Man Up.
Well, I'm trying to get some people to really, step up to the plate.
They want
to
be on our level, right?
Exactly. You
as
can't
long
be
as
on
you're
on
our level while pissing, according to the guy, you can talk.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So my Man Up guy of the week, I don't know his name. This was a guy I didn't run into him. I saw him at Mardi Gras, the celebration in St. Louis.
Nice.
It's the second largest Mardi Gras celebration in America. So it's a very big amateur hour. So this guy, we're going to call him the ringleader because he was dressed up as the ringleader from a circus. He had the big red coat, some like chap pants.
Wow.
Yeah. He was probably 21, first time ever at Mardi Gras. Anyway, his girlfriend that he had there, when we walk into the tent, is just passed out right next to a trash can, like laying passed out on a trash can.
Oof.
And this guy's trying to wake her up, but in the times he's not, he's going over, he's taking shots, and he comes over, gets back. So the ringleader is my Man Up guy of the week because this guy did not man up. He let his girlfriend sit on a trash can for 30 minutes until the guy at the bar was like, you got to get her out of here. And then when he finally got her out, he just sat her on the street for another 20 minutes until a guy in a golf cart could come and drive her away.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do? So you want to party, you want to have a good time, and sometimes she's just in the way.
Yeah. So, right. Yeah, man up. Man, and stop wearing a damn ringleader outfit to Mardi Gras. It was cold. Right. Wear a coat. I wanted a cuss.
My man up of the week I had to do a little searching for this, but I felt like it was good because it was timely. It's about Valentine's Day. Ooh. This has been brought to my attention from the website called Bustle.com from a author, Laura Rutherford Morrison, who basically stole from Reddit about this one man's failure when it comes to Valentine's Day. The Redditor's moniker, his name is Dr. Gonzo 21. And he posted it in the subreddit, "Today I fucked up." And this is what he says, quote, "Now I'm a chivalrous fella who believes in loving a woman every day of the year. So I always played off Valentine's as the consumerist BS that it really is. Still, deep down, I could see my girlfriend was into it and wanted something to mark the day. So I ordered some flowers with a card to be delivered on the morning and booked a table at an awesome little restaurant. On the card, I simply asked for "from" to be written, going along with the idea that I wasn't interested in Valentine's Day, so it couldn't possibly be for me. This is where I fucked up. When the package arrived and I playfully asked, "Oh, wonder who those could be from," I did not expect to be met with a response, "Probably Steven from work." Who the fuck is Steven from work? Echoing that thought, I said, quote, "No, they're from me. Who the fuck is Steven from work?" My girlfriend explained Steven from work had been hitting on her for about 4 months and recently asked what her favorite flowers were. Lilies, like I had ordered. We spent the rest of the day going through Steven from work's attempts to pick up my girlfriend, had an uncomfortable meal at the restaurant, then returned home to find a Valentine's Day card had been popped through our letterbox. It didn't say who it was from. This is the man that I say should man up a little bit. Clearly, he doesn't fully get the romance vibe of Valentine's Day, and he just did not step up on Valentine's.
Steven or the other guy?
Touche. And I do have a follow-up, apparently. Apparently, he...
Update. We got an update to the story.
He added a postscript, and he said that his girlfriend have broken up.
Oh, man.
And that she is now seeing Rob from work.
Oh, my God. Who is Rob?
Who the fuck is Rob?
This just blows my mind.
So this guy is my man of the week that needs to man up and step up to the plate, be a good boyfriend for that next girlfriend,
you know, who
and actually
up.
Care.
You know who manned up? Rob.
Rob stepped up to the plate.
Well, you
he
know
said,
what? Rob he said, just circling the wagons, waiting for Steve to fuck up.
He saw Steven flirting with a girl who already had a guy named Mr. Dr. Gonzo 21 and said, "This isn't going to go well. I'll wait till it breaks up."
This is why they call him Rob.
That's true.
He's going to rob your girl.
He's a thief.
Yeah.
All right. So now, man moment of the week. What is yours, Weezer?
All right. So this is where we're going to the manliest thing you can find of the week. My man moment of the week is by a guy named Will Williams from Wales. He likes to get wild sometimes. This past week, he chugged a bottle of Jack Daniels in 13 seconds. A full brand new bottle of Jack. Did not vomit. Did not throw up. He said he felt drunk pretty instantly, and he partied all the way to 3 a.m. in the morning. So, Will Williams, my man of the week.
That's pretty good. I mean, that's John Belushi level, because he actually did that in Animal House. You know that, right?
Yes, yeah. But I couldn't imagine doing a full bottle of Jack. Like, first of all, I think about 3 seconds in, the taste would get to my, like, gag reflex a little bit.
Yes. Yes, the hard spike of Jack Daniels in the back of the throat. Now, my man up moment of the week is probably one of the biggest man moments of history ever, of all time. And it's not really of the week. It happened about 10 days ago on February. Well, longer than that, I guess. It happened on February 4th. But it's so legendary, I have to say it again.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of The Mountain?
No. Like a mountain?
No, The Mountain is a man. The Mountain comes from the HBO show The Game of Thrones.
Oh, see, I'm not a nerd.
But I know. I don't really watch it that much either. I read the books, which is worse, which is nerdier than just watching the TV show. But this guy's name is, I'm going to butcher the name, Haftor Bjornsson.
We're going to get a bunch of letters from nerds.
Just together. No, this is his real name. This is his real name. And he was competing in the whole premise of his character. He's one of the biggest men that has ever fought in any wars. He's huge. He is a big, big, big man. He was competing in the Europe's strongest man in Norway on January 31st. He broke a 1,000-year-old record legend from strongest, like basic Viking days. What he did, he lifted a log that weighed more than 1,400 pounds on his back and walked 5 steps.
Oh, man.
Now, if you want to see it, it is online. You can find it all over the place. You just, I guess, search the mountain and record and you will find it. But he, it's a tree, and he stands there and lifts it off of these 8x8 beams, these wooden beams, lifts it on his back and walks 5 steps.
My other co-host, Ryan from the 314 podcast, couldn't even walk 5 steps without on his back before he tore up his face.
Well, I'm sure this man has him beat, and he's Icelandic. And according to the stats, when you Google him, he's 26 years old, 6'9", 419 pounds.
Damn. That is impressive.
That's like, and if you Google him, he is one of the scariest men you'll ever see. And there's not any fat on him at all. He is just stacked, and he can just kill you. He can kill you with one little grip and then dead.
He's got a nice beard.
Yes, he does have a very nice sharp beard.
Ginger beard.
So yes. Very well, you love anything ginger, Weezer.
I don't. I just defend him.
Yes, you defend him.
Defend
so
us.
So that is my man moment of the week, and I gotta say it's gotta be my man moment of 1,000 years, because he broke this legend that's that old.
Yeah, that is impressive. I have problems picking up like bags of dog food these days. That's why we're Man Up Podcast and not the Mountain Podcast.
Yes, not the Mountain, because we cannot compete with the Mountain Podcast.
Oh. All right, Fred. First episode in the books. How do you think it went?
Like I said, five listeners, and that's going to be about it.
Well, it's got me, my mom, dad, your mom.
I can't promise that my wife is going to listen to this.
No, I'm pretty sure she probably won't. You're going to do a podcast about being manly?
She's questioning my manliness most days.
Yeah. Are you sure that little rubber duck, squeaky duck, wasn't for you, Fred?
I swear to God, it's for Piper _ the puppy at Twitter.
Yeah. Follow him. Tweet him.
Follow.
Yeah.
Piper _ the puppy.
Don't follow us.
No, don't follow us.
All right, Fred. What are we going to talk about next week?
Next week, we haven't decided. I think we're talking about shaving, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe some facial hair and beards, discussing the. But I think we need to keep it to shaving, because if we go to facial hair and beards, that's a little bit too much of a discussion. Shaving is kind of a good follow up, because it's one of the things that we know so well, because we only have beards.
Yeah.
We never shave.
I can't tell you the last time I went full clean shave. It's been almost over two years.
Did you go clean shave for the wedding or just keep the goatee?
No, I kept it clean cut. I got it nice and clean. I got the line shaped up while everybody else got nicked and cut.
Hey, those barbers were fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been Man Up. We're going to try to work on being more manly for next week. Until then, I'm Weezer Weir. He's Fred Vineford.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. And we got to get a tagline to say goodbye. Man up!
Is that what you want to do at the same time?
Yeah. One.
All right.
Two. Quit giggling. Real men don't giggle.
Sorry.
That might be our intro. Real men don't giggle.
All right.